Klein, Neil Larson, Julie Mason, and joining us from the state capitol is Senator Dave Lent. Senator, welcome. Good to hear from you this morning.
Absolutely. I hope we're getting a little precipitation in the next couple of days, too.
Yeah, you know, we've had a little, and I think we've got some more coming. So let's all hope and pray for that. Our farmers need it. So 100% on board with that. Well, Senator, let's talk. I think it's probably your core issue, education. I know that you have recognized that the education landscape is changing, and parents of students, they want innovation, they want new things, and we may disagree about how we respond to that, but I do have to commend you for being proactive in wanting to find ways to adapt to this changing landscape. So give us the latest on what you're working on.
Well, I don't remember if I talked to you about this before, but I traveled throughout the state this last summer and fall holding town halls about modernizing, if we could reinvent public education. And I'm really pleased at the traction that's getting. The superintendent, the school boards seem to be catching that vision. So right now I'm working with Superintendent Critchfield. We meet probably not every day, but a couple of times a week, and talk about a 2 to 3 year plan that includes a new funding formula. How do we address, and a big issue that's come into play is we brought charter schools into Idaho as the innovation centers, and I don't believe we did a good job of translating that innovation into our public system. So we're in the process right now of evaluating the advancements and the pluses that have come from charter schools, and looking at how we can make a transition in policy into our regular traditional public schools. So a lot of work to do. This isn't something that you fix overnight, but we really want our Idaho schools to be recognized as excellent versus people not wanting to come here because they don't think we have good school systems.
So, Senator, I want to follow up to that. And I look at the state constitution, and it talks very deliberately and specifically about education and having a general and a uniform education system. Now, I'm pretty darn sure your answer to this question is going to be no, but I would like a little bit of deeper discussion on it. Is that language outdated? Because when it was written, we didn't have the technology that we have. We didn't have the portability that we have. We didn't have the ability to connect the way that we do today. And I think a lot of people who are conservative and they want the best for their children believe that the dollars should follow the child. Do you think that it's time, and I wouldn't give specific language what it should be in the Constitution, but do you think it's time to rethink that basic model of education that has been outlined in our state constitution?
Well, I kind of think like we talk about the three R's, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I think the concepts are there. We just need to adapt them to our society and our culture. So it's a matter of, from my perspective, how do we evolve our education system to adapt? And one of those ways is the money following the students. I'm not opposed to that, because I think really the education system should be the facilitators of the learning part of our society, not necessarily the only holders of the flame. So I see us really moving more and more to a different, totally different model than what we all grew up in. Again, most people don't realize that the current model that we use today was instituted in about 1908 by the industrialists to bring people from the fields to the cities and factories. That's where 9, 10, 11, 12 came from, and the schedules, bell schedules, credit hours. So it's time for us, as we move into this new era and economy of information and knowledge, to think in terms of how can that be different with our technology. And I think a key thing you bring up there is, how do we maintain those core values that come from our families? How do we do this and integrate this technology, but still reserve and preserve the important things that make us who we are?
Well, you mentioned that you did those four town halls across the state, and clearly people have got to be giving you some ideas at these town halls. I think sometimes the only solution that is ever really publicly talked about is throw more money at the problem. What other than that, because obviously there's not a ton of money available in the budget this year in the state. So what other things are you specifically looking at changing that could make a benefit to Idaho students?
Well, I'm really promoting, and what I hear as I travel across the country is people want more local control. They want their school system to add value locally and reflect their local values and have more control over what's done there. So I think in reality, that's going to be the key as we reinvent ourselves in our public system to ensure that we do keep those local values.
Senator Lynn, I want to ask you kind of an overarching question about education. I know Julie and I have talked a lot about this, but it seems like, and I believe this was evident in the discussion last year and now into this year over House Bill 93, that the child stopped being the highest priority for all of the adults involved. And it shifted to protecting institutions. It shifted to protecting teachers and teachers' unions. And I think the kids were still a priority, but they weren't the priority for some people. Not saying you, but I think in this debate, I would say the teachers' unions were looking out for themselves. And always, Julie and I are going to advocate for making the child the highest priority when it comes to education and using taxpayer funding to support education. Do you feel like the institution, that the adults, that the teachers' unions became too self-important in this discussion as we try to educate our kids in Idaho?
Oh, great question, Neil. And let me just go back to Julie's question about money there. I went to AI and I asked AI to, based on a description of what I felt Idaho public education was like, create an image of it. And it created a 1-foot square cardboard old box wrapped in elastic bands. And I think I use that as an example when I talk to folks and say, it doesn't matter how much money we put in this box, it's not going to really improve the performance. Not until we set that box aside and start over with a new system. So, Neil, to your question, really, we have a system that's built on process. It's built on the date you were born, how many hours you sit in a class, and that's how we've measured success versus really the growth. And we've kind of shied away from these things that we talk about, like growth in achievement. So I envision a system, and I think we're really working towards a system that's really student-centered, and it spends a lot more time focusing on the strengths and interests of individual students. And then the education system complements that as they move through the system. That's really what I'm envisioning. And so I agree with you that we have a system that has focused away from specific. It's obvious because we measure our quality by the numbers we crank out, not necessarily the quality of the outcome of the student. An example is we measure the go-on rate when, in fact, go-on rate really isn't an outcome that we're trying to get. We're trying to get measurable skills there, like marketable skills or degrees, something that gets students to first base. Those are the kind of things that we should be measuring, objective outcomes that really benefit individual students.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Governor Little has announced an advanced nuclear energy task force. We know you have been placed on that task force. Locally, Lisa Burtenshaw, mayor of Idaho Falls, is also on that task force. We've got some other people in this from this side of the state on that task force as well, including the INL director. You guys had a meeting on February 2nd. Or it is coming up. It already happened. So February 2nd. Why don't you tell us what that first meeting looked like and what the intent of the task force is?
Well, I think the intent of the task force is to bring Idaho into the game. We see so many of these other states jumping in. Utah and Governor Cox is a good example. So it's an attempt for us to jump in with both feet, get involved. I'm serving along with Representative Hill as the policy arm of this. So we're in the process right now of evaluating all the other states, all legislation out there that's really promoting this subject. And I would say that having worked at the INL for most of my career and really traveled around, I spent a number of years doing consulting work in the nuclear industry across the country. Idaho is really the only place. This is our game to win. We have to be up to bat to get it, though. And that's the issue we're talking about. We have the right people. We have the right location, the right technology, the right infrastructure to support this new resurgence in the nuclear fields and everything from fuel recycling to new reactor technology. We have it at the INL, and it's just a great opportunity for us, and I'm very excited to be part of that.
We're talking with Senator Dave Lent. Senator, the budget is a big issue. You spent some years on JFAC. You're not on there anymore. But as we kind of make our way through this legislative session, knowing that dollars are a little bit scarce this year, what are some of your observations about this process and the challenges that lawmakers are facing?
Well, really, as you probably know, that is the big item this year, is how do we handle this? And I would like people to know that one of the reasons we're here is because we've really tried to listen to our folks about taxes. In the last 8 years, we have reduced income taxes 5 times, and we've gone from 7.4 to 5.3 on the rate and then included a flat rate there. So when you talk about where, if this is really the opposite of overspending, it's under-revenuing, which is a good thing. The hard part of this is how do you right size? And as you know, that a lot of times affects people. So I think we are trying to do our job, trying to keep our taxes low and reduce them, cut the fat, and look at the ways we can be more efficient and effective as a government. It's kind of a hard session because of that, but it's the right thing to do. And I think sometimes you have to make those hard decisions.
So it does not sound like there's much appetite other than maybe from the Democrats and a handful of kind of more left-leaning Republicans to even look at raising taxes on Idahoans. There's a reluctance to dip into the rainy day fund, the emergency fund that we have. So really the only option you're left with is to trim. And that's sort of the approach that lawmakers are taking. What's your personal preference when it comes to those different options of solving a revenue issue?
Well, I think that's the right thing to do. If you're going to reduce the size of government and be very efficient, you have to do that from time to time. In the corporate world and in the business world, that's a normal course of process. But I think it's the right thing to do. It's hard. And from a personal point of view, we have people come to the Capitol and you see firsthand, they tell you the stories of how it's affecting them negatively. That's very hard to hear those stories and hear what's going on. We just have to figure out ways to try to meet their needs in a way that isn't as expensive as that we're currently doing.
Obviously, you're hopeful that revenue comes in higher than what's been predicted, but do you believe that it will? Do you think maybe lawmakers have been a little bit more pessimistic than what actual revenue will be?
I think so. And I think by our very nature as a state, we try to take the conservative route, especially when it comes to finances as well. And I personally think that this warmer weather this winter has allowed us to continue construction and do these other things. So our corporate income tax values are going to be up. I think they're going to be higher, but when you're planning and responsible for these finances, you really can't count on that. You have to take the conservative route and then take advantage of other things if they come in.
All right. Our guest this morning is State Senator Dave Lent. Senator Lent, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate talking with you and hope to chat with you again soon.
That's great. Hey, we didn't even get to talk about flags today.
Okay. Well, you have 30 seconds if you want to talk about that.
No, that's a hard one. I'll pass on that. But
okay.
I just wanted to give you a hard time on that.
Well, or bathrooms for that matter. So, yeah.
Why not just throw the whole thing in there? In the toilet, I guess.
I guess so.